Lord, we just come to you this morning and we thank you so much because we know 100% that you are in charge, that you already have a plan, that your plan is being worked out and your plan will continue to be worked out, and there is nothing or no one that can stifle that plan. And as we talk about politics and we talk about all the things going on in the world, Lord, help us constantly remember that regardless of how all this is playing out, that we just need to keep our eyes fixed on you. We need to keep our heart in the right place, loving you and loving our neighbors. And we just need to live our lives as Christians to reflect your light and your love and your patience and your forgiveness and your grace and your mercy and all the things that you show us every day, Lord. We just need to be able to extend those to the people around us, regardless of differences of beliefs or opinions. For some reason these days, Lord, it seems like the division just keeps getting bigger and bigger. People don't seem to be able to sit down and have a civil conversation that disagree. It starts to create more than just some hurt feelings or more than just disagreement, but people have taken things so deeply. And we just ask, Lord, that you would help to keep our minds clear, that you would help us to keep focused. We lift this time up to you right now, and we thank you, Lord, for this gathering. We thank you for your word. We just ask that your presence would be here with us to guide us and direct us and help us to glean what you want. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. He is still in charge.
Yes, he is.
He didn't tell us it would all be easy. Okay, we were talking about, we were talking about the armor of God, actually, for all the spiritual warfare and spiritual battles. And we just started kind of going over some of them individually. This is in Ephesians 6, starts with verse 10. I think it goes through 18. But we talked about the belt of truth and how truth basically, with the truth is the basis. The truth is the belt with the soldier's army is helps to hold things together, helps to gird up their loins, helps to gird up their skirt, as Tina called it, and help them to just, you know, hold everything else in place. And that's exactly what we need to do with the truth. But we talked about quite a bit. We started on the breastplate of righteousness, and that's where we stopped last week. So I'm going to read the whole thing there from 10 to 18 again, and then kind of come back and pick them apart. It says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints." And then he asked him to pray for him as well. But the breastplate of righteousness, the breastplate, you know, with when we compare those visuals with the Roman soldier and what that looked like, back then, their breastplates were mostly chainmail. It of course, protects the most vital organs, which is your heart. And an enemy's blow to the heart could be devastating. I mean, it could be deadly. But You know, when we accept Jesus and ask him into our heart, our faith comes from what's in our hearts, right? Our faith comes from what's in our hearts. Our emotions come from what's in our hearts. The love that we feel all comes from our hearts.
Technically, it will come from your brain.
Yes, I know this, but when we talk about that, why do we say that though? Why do we say that it comes from our heart? Why do we say our faith comes from our heart and we ask Jesus into our
heart? Our heart gives us life.
Yeah.
It does. Yeah.
Everything flows from it.
And when they talk about the actual heart, of course we know the heart is an organ that pumps the blood. But when you feel something, why do we say, oh, that's just a gut feeling? Do you really feel it in your gut?
It's probably coming from your heart again, but you just feel it all over there.
It's just...
Yeah.
For me, it's the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And the way he fills us up, because sometimes when you say it's a gut feeling, sometimes you do feel it in your gut. Like you feel it. Yeah. It's overwhelming sometimes when you say, man, I feel that in my gut. You do.
And love.
But that's the Holy Spirit that lives within us.
Yes.
But when you talk about love, and you talk about how, like, love's, you know, oh, I have so much love in my heart. No, you're right. Love is a chemical reaction in the brain that releases all the proper chemicals in order to... But do you feel it there? Do you feel it up here? Mm-hmm. No, you feel it. It's
because,
like,
the endorphins are released into your body.
When they're talking about in their heart, I don't know that it really is talking about your actual heart organ that pumps blood. I think it's talking about the center of your being.
Yeah.
Like your whole... Your whole spirit is just in there. When that's what I think when people say, oh, you know, I love you from the bottom of my heart. You know, I think it's just that, it's that innermost part of us. That's what it represents to me when I talk about protecting your heart. And you know, that's what it does, is the righteousness protects our hearts. We can't be righteous on our own, right? Our righteousness is Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And so being right with God, when you're not right with God, when you've done something or said something or turned away and went against God in some way, and you feel that guilt, it's not just in your head. It's like, it's deep.
Mm-hmm.
And you get convicted. And so being right with God, staying right with God, that's what the righteousness is. And it's not us.
And the neat thing, the way it works, is when Christ is in our heart, he makes our mindset better. So although everything comes, like all of our endorphins and all that good stuff comes from our mind and makes us feel, he gets in our heart and breaks our mind. So
yes.
It's like this backslide.
Because you can't have that righteousness without including the mind too, right? I mean, you can't. It's
like your heart and your mind is constantly connected.
The sin, when we sin, it separates us from that righteousness. But of course, if we confess our sin, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins. But you know, that unconfessed, that unrepentant sin. Those things that we might do in darkness, those things that we're ashamed of or we don't want somebody to know about, you know, the things that we've done or things that we've said. Sometimes we let that go on long enough that we start to make peace with it. And once we make peace with any kind of sin, that starts to steal away at that righteousness. We become not right with God anymore because we're pulling away. It's not that he ever pulls away. His righteousness is that free gift.
Mm-hmm.
But we can pull away. And when we pull away and we're not right with him, the righteousness doesn't disappear. It's not beyond our reach. But it causes a separation.
Because we've walked away from it. It's here,
yes.
And we're going here. So it's further and further away because we left it, not because it left
us.
Yes,
not because it left us. But when we do that, or when we have those little things those little pet sins, or those little things that we still keep in darkness, those create little holes in that righteousness. And those flaming arrows of the evil one, realize that that's associated with a shield of faith, but that gets holes where he could poke and prod and
the heart just kind of hardens start changing then after a period of time.
Yeah, yeah. So yes, being right with God, having that righteousness that He gives us, accepting it, acknowledging it, living in it, that does protect our heart. That keeps our heart in the right place. But it's all Him, right? Every one of these is God. Every piece of the armor is God. What about the feet fitted with a
with the readiness?
Feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Does yours say it differently?
Stand on your feet, alert. Then you will always be ready to share the blessings of peace. That's
for
Jesus.
Those that carry, yes. I have little news, but don't remember who I wanted to, but like feet on the move. Those who go and carry the word of God. Think of all of our missionaries, like,
yeah.
They go, they carry the word of God. You know?
We're all ambassadors.
Yes.
We are. Yeah. We are. I think the ones that actually go and carry, like they travel it.
Yeah.
I mean, I know we do too here within our community or our family or whatever, but
we have our own mission field.
We do. Yeah. That's just a little note that I had written down. It's just the feet on the move, carrying the word of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you compare those with like the Roman soldier thing again, you know, their sandals were very different.
Yeah.
I think
they actually had like the boots. Almost like the boots that went up with it up over the
shins. Well, they had
Unless here's the thing, I've watched a few too many movies, so maybe it's a movie thing that I'm coming up with. But I'm thinking of like they had like the little boots that, with the shin guards that come up like right below their knees.
In the days of Christ, I'm not sure they had those shields or whatever in place. I think a lot of the stuff was just they had leather soles. They had like spikes on the bottom of the soles that would help them with sure footing. That would help them with footage. But then they didn't just have like, you know, sandal or things that they would slip on or that they would just tie around. They had leather straps that laced them clear up and kept them really secure. And the leather straps would come clear up, like, you know,
maybe
just below their knees or whatever. But yeah, I mean, they were to give them firm footing and, you know, make them ready.
Think about the Roman soldier. They were armored up in the way that God tells us to armor up. They had their helmets, they had their breast shields, they had their sandals on ready to go, like, and their shields. Like, they were armored up the way Christ tells us to get armored up, but the physical, the very physical thing.
But I think that's why Paul uses that. He uses that imagery because all of the people in his time, of course, had seen lots of Roman soldiers. And they knew what the Roman soldiers were capable of.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was talking about. There's something kind of neat about
them. What's that?
Is that them? Or is that not them?
Well, look, see, those are disconnected. This is sandals.
I know, I see that. I don't know why.
No, I think that's a Halloween costume you're looking at there.
I said Roman.
Roman footwear.
Yeah.
Ancient Roman footwear. They're ancient.
Biblical times Roman footwear.
Biblical times?
Okay. Well, that covers a long period of time, too, though.
Yeah.
But when he's talking about this, he's talking about being ready, being so familiar with the Word of God, the gospel of peace. You know, the gospel of peace is that Christ died for us, right? The gospel of peace is what salvation is about. And it's being so familiar with it and so assured of that gospel of peace, that the good news of Christ and salvation, that we should be ready. Ready at all times to share it. Ready at any time to get it out there and share it with people around us.
It also protects us it protects us while we're in the world also from people that want to come at us with their kind of negativity or with their opposition of faith or their what I want to say, like their untruth of what faith really is.
Right.
So I think it also protects us while we're out in the world just on a daily basis. Like, we have to be careful of what we watch on television, what we hear on the radio. Yeah. We have to be careful who we're hanging out with, the influences that we have within us. So I think that armor of God protects us on a daily basis just throughout life.
Throughout COVID, so many people that I don't come in contact with, how are you doing? You know, and I have peace.
Yeah.
And so many people are just filled with fear.
Yeah.
Because their eyes are on COVID.
An incapacitating fear for some. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are some that still have not left their houses hardly since March. I mean, you know, they're locked in. They do all of their shopping online. Everything is delivered to their door. Mm-hmm. They're scared to death to walk out and do anything. And I mean,
Doesn't it tell us not to?
Yeah.
Doesn't the Bible tell us not to not gather? Do not forsake the gathering of people.
Yeah, see? You know, I just don't wear my mask when I go out.
These are closer, though.
And my dad gets... I don't want to say my dad gets upset with me. He's like, but honey, he's like, this stuff is really bad. I'm like, I know.
That's
it is. I'm like, but I'm not going to live my life.
That's not what your fears look like. That's not what any of it really looked like.
That's not what I'm taught. I don't live in fears. If I come in contact with COVID and I get it, you know, God has a plan for that too. I'm either going to fight it and be fine, or I'm not going to be here. And that was God's plan. He knew. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to live my life in fear. I want to do it.
But that's the assurity of that.
I am perfectly happy social distancing. I don't like people in my bubble anyhow. So I'm like, we're good. You stay out there. I have certain people that I love to hug and stuff, but
that's that peace, though.
I'm like, I'm good with you people staying away from me. I'm okay.
Peace that passes all.
That's that peace that, yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, people just look at you like, you're not wearing your mask. I'm like, no. It's like, I told my dad, I'm like, listen, I'm like, I can't wait for a couple years down the road. All these people that are wearing this cloth face coverings and they're wearing them 8, 12 hours at work, they're going to have their own respiratory issues.
Mm-hmm.
They're sucking in all of that material.
I hate it.
Yeah.
I hate it. We don't have an option to wear them at work.
Right. And but it's going to seriously have its own consequences down the road. That is. I'm like, nope. I'm happy to breathe.
We've worn them for years and years.
I know.
So the difference now is that we would take them down and take them off or change them
every hour. Yeah.
And it stays on until lunch. I take it off and put a new one on.
Exactly. Which, because I went to school for scrub tech, so I've hours you'd have one of those on, but it was for a whole different purpose, too.
Yeah.
And when you were done, you took it off, and you went and you breathed your air. But when, like you guys now, it's on. It's on, it's on all day.
My sister was at my house last night, and she works at a nursing home. Yeah. And she said that when they have to wear the mask, they can't wear just like a cloth mask. They have to wear the N95s.
Yep.
And she said, and when they put the N95s on, they do a test.
It's a fit test.
She said they put it on, and then they put I didn't understand the whole thing because there's a bunch of people talking, but I think she said they put like a suit on, and then they would seal it. And then they would spray something into it to see if you could smell it. And if you could smell it, then your mask wasn't fitted properly.
Correct.
And you had to like redo it until you couldn't smell that. And then once you get it on and get it sealed, you do not take it off.
Yeah.
And so that's what she was saying. It's like all day. And I'm like,
and those are a little bit different because they actually be wearing. Yes. And those are filtered differently than just like a cloth mask or whatever. They actually have a filter to them or whatever.
Yeah,
but you have to go through a very specific fit test for those.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But yes, there are a lot of people living in fear, and you know, Jesus, that peace, that gospel of peace, Jesus said in John 14, he said, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give peace that the world gives.
Exactly.
Right? And he said, do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. And that peace that the world gives is so temporary. It's just a moment of peace. The peace that Christ gives is permanent, and it stays with us, and it keeps us walking through things and not living in fear. You know, I've said it 100 times probably, but fear, fear holds us back. Fear binds us. It stops us. Yes, it holds us captive. It keeps us even from spreading that gospel of peace. When we have that fear or feel that fear ourselves, we might be afraid of rejection. We might be afraid of failure. We might be afraid of just ridicule or whatever the case is. If we're afraid of sharing that gospel for any reason, we're going to sit there and second guess.
You know, one of the byproducts of fear is it causes immunosuppression of our bodies. Mm-hmm. So why would we want to even do that?
Right.
So you can literally make yourself sick.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's so, actually happened to me before. It's been a long time, but I was just felt like I was, I can't even explain the way I felt. It was crazy.
I'm glad you don't feel that way anymore.
Me too. It's been a real long time.
I can remember I was, back when I was going to school, trying to deal with teenagers, a blended family, and just had so much going on. I had restless leg syndrome, like every night. My restless legs.
I have that
now. You know what?
I did that.
As soon as I was done with school and I got settled into a job,
it went away.
I never had it again. Now I'll get it if I.
Now?
Certain medicines can get it to me, but I don't have it. It's like I was so flipping stressed out
until I go to bed.
And it caused that. Once the stress part went away,
I'm just trying to stay.
It was gone.
I must be a little stressed out about this COVID thing with our school and stuff.
It has to be stressful, Tina, because things aren't the way they were. I mean, you can't just go in there and teach your kids. It's not
the time now. Try to just give it to God, but
there is a little bit of fear that we will go back to being closed and doing the distance learning.
I don't
learning.
Want that to happen because I just go
for us
nuts.
That doesn't drastically, I mean, it changes things and it's so different
kids.
But it's not something that you can't handle, but for the kids it's disastrous.
It is.
And you know, there are some
the
staff people
just forget everything they've been taught.
There are some staff people that's like, oh, I'm already ready, everything that I do is online anyhow, I'll just switch it and do it all online instead. And it's like, I'm like, yeah, I'm not worried about me. I'm worried about the kids and how they're going to be affected by it.
My daughter kept my grandson home, and she's doing some kind of traditional homeschooling, and I'm like, to talk to him is just not going. It's like, well, what time do you start? Depends. Like, he doesn't, there's no routine. There is no routine. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't have friends. He doesn't see people, and I'm like,
yeah, that's scary.
Yeah.
I'm like, this girl needs to get these kids back to school. She needs to put him back in school. Like,
towards the end of last school year, it really got hard to get my kid. I didn't care anymore about school. I was waiting on it to be over.
Yeah.
You know? So it's, it's not going to be good long term.
No. I mean, he's already a shy, backwards kind of kid. You know what I mean?
You know, Kiara.
Yeah. So for him, he's like, it's like, what do you do? He's like, oh, I was playing video games. I'm like, school, you're not playing.
Yeah.
And she's the mom. I mean, I can voice my opinions, but they're going to go right there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I...
Yeah, there's so much more to learning in school than there is just what's in the books.
Oh, yeah. Like, learning how to deal with... And he's like, oh, I'm glad I don't have to deal with all the drama. But, buddy, that's what you're going to have to deal with when you grow up and go into life. It's drama. You got to learn how to...
And it prepares problems.
You. You got to learn how to do that now. Like, I know you're only 11, but those little 11-year-old kids get on your nerves. You got to learn how to deal with it because it's going to get worse when you get older. You don't know how to deal with it? Oh. So, yeah. I really hope they just get schools back in session and they just go back to school. Just go back to school.
Yeah.
I need it so bad.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody needs it. Our economy even needs it. Parents need it. Businesses need it. Kids need it. Everybody.
Yeah, I didn't understand the whole milk dumping thing. And my husband's like, well, if you don't have kids in school and they're not drinking the milk, then you're not. I'm like, oh.
That's another issue.
I didn't understand. I'm like, why are you dumping milk? People are still drinking milk. But then I didn't understand, like, at the institutions and the schools and stuff, that they're just not buying because there's nobody there. And I'm like, when you think of schools in the United States, there's hundreds of thousands of schools and children that aren't drinking that milk. So, okay, I see the bigger picture now. That stinks. So, so when you say it hurt our economy, it tanked.
Yeah. Unless you're a big conglomeration. All right, we're going to get to the shield of faith. Have you heard someone say all Christians are just weak? And they created a God to hide behind so they don't have to face reality?
Yep.
Or Jesus is just a crutch for people that's not strong enough to handle life on their own. They just need a crutch. You ever heard anybody say that?
He's just another man. He's nothing that's going to protect you.
No, my dad thinks he's just a man, but he doesn't go far enough to mock him like that. Yeah. My dad will be like, he's just a guy in history. And I'll be like, okay, Dad, whatever. But he doesn't go that far, but... I've never had anybody tell me that he's something I'm hiding behind, if not.
No.
I've had people say that. Lots of times I've heard people say things like that. And the interesting thing is that's almost exactly what the shield of faith is.
Mm-hmm. This translation says, take faith as your wraparound shield. And I like that.
Wraparound shield.
Yeah.
There was a... I got it clear down here, but it's called Testudo. Or the tortoise, which was a formation that the Roman soldiers used to use. Because when you talk about the shield of faith and you compare it again to the Roman soldier image, the Roman soldier's shield was not this little shield like Captain America carries around. You know, it wasn't this little tiny shield. You know, and that's what you see when you look up costumes and all that. They've got the shield of faith. But it wasn't. The Roman soldier's shield was this 2 to 3 foot, like 3 feet wide and like 3 or 4 feet tall. And it was this heavy, it usually wasn't solid wood. It was like a...
It was wood?
It had like a wooden structure to it.
Oh.
And then it was covered in leather. And it was dipped in water.
You know what?
They would soak it.
That's what my Bible says right here, says, talking about that, says this verse describes the large Roman shield covered with leather.
Yeah.
So it's probably wood covered in leather, which could be soaked and used to extinguish flame-tipped arrows.
Yes, because that's what, when it says the flaming darts of the evil one, right, that Paul says.
They would soak that leather in water.
They would soak the leather because the flaming arrows were pitch, right? They would dip it in pitch and light them. And, you know, your breastplate might stop the arrow from piercing you, but if it would hit you, that pitch would fly off and, you know, you'd probably get burnt or whatever anyhow, especially if it flew up in your face. But, yeah, these shields were huge, and they were big enough that a Roman soldier could actually plant this thing on the ground and stoop down behind them.
I think in that movie 300 where they all just put the shields down and hid behind them, like you just have like this huge, massive thing of shields.
That's what the tortoise or the testudo was. It was that the Roman soldiers would form a circle, and they would put the shields down side by side by side, and on the inside of that circle, another group of Roman soldiers would hold them up above.
Yeah.
And so they basically created this shell.
They did that Black Panther too.
Did they?
Remember that.
But that was what
I love
that,
the Avengers. So
that's what that is. They would do that, and they could just stand there until, you know, the enemy ran out of arrows or whatever, I guess. I mean, they could withstand all of that, and then they would go and attack.
Yeah.
And wouldn't it be nice if we could do that as Christians?
Yes.
That's why
it's better that we're all together. Right. We're stronger than us separate.
Exactly.
Right? If we could have that where we all were together side by side and protecting one another.
We're essential for each other.
We are essential.
Can't do it by ourselves.
But that's what I loved, that shield. The image of the shield that is not that little shield that people carry. It was huge.
That's good.
Yeah, I think that what I've read most of is they were framed out of like a rattan or a some kind of a wooden structure and then wrapped with leather. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they'd be all fancied up too, you know, but that was for getting inside the enemy's head. But that battle that, you know, rages on against Satan and all the powers of darkness is not one that we can win on our own. So guess what? I have no problem hiding behind that shield of faith. Yeah. I have no problem. You know, if you know, Jesus walks beside us, Jesus walks, you know, with us, Jesus is always behind us. But by God, if I'm going into battle, I sure want him to be in front of me.
Yes.
I want him to go first.
Yes.
And so, yeah, I have no problem going into the... You know, in this world, that faith is a tremendous shield. It's a tremendous shield when all that garbage comes at you. You know, those flaming darts are in the news. They're on the internet. They're on TV. Mm-hmm. They're in every show. They're everywhere. Mm-hmm. They're coming at us constantly like... And you know what? I'll put that shield of faith up there so that they don't go it in.
I kind of had a day like that Friday, I think it was. Just overload, sensory overload of just all the... stuff, and that wears you out. You just want to get away.
Yeah. Well, you know, that tortoise formation or whatever, they could withstand almost anything, but then a soldier by himself that's isolated is an easy target, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the same thing with us, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's what Satan loves to do. He loves to divide and conquer.
Isolate.
Well, think about how this COVID is doing. It's isolating people. Mm-hmm. They're isolated. And so Satan's like, he's having a heyday with these people locked up in their houses. And he's just instilling so much fear in them. And just and then they're full of fear and hatred. And just, he's having a heyday. Because they're alone. They're alone.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going out and being with their friends that encourage them, lift them up, and empower them, and just.
And even with us, if Satan can't get through our armor, a lot of times he'll go after someone that's close to us, mm-hmm. someone that's mm-hmm. near and dear to
yeah,
us,
for
just
sure.
to try to distract mm-hmm. us and you know, let our guard down so we can move in.
Yeah.
Sneaky, very sneaky. Well, with the truth, the righteousness, the peace, the faith, none of it's even possible without salvation, right? And that's the helmet of salvation mm-hmm. is so vitally important. And the thing with the helmet of salvation, you know, it with the soldiers, it was of course meant to protect their heads.
Yep.
The blow to the head,
yep.
you know, could kill them. But something that I think is cool is that the helmets also normally had some type of a design
mm-hmm.
or something that was basically, it wasn't just to make it pretty, it was to show them that they represented the Roman army.
Right.
Right. It says it provided a striking symbol of military victory.
Yes.
Well, think about our football players. Look at OSU. Don't they put like little Buckeyes on their helmets
yes.
for all their wins? I mean, it's a helmet, and they're displaying their victories. They
yeah.
still do it today.
Those Roman, you know, the Roman helmets. They had something that when that enemy came up against them, and they saw that soldier all decked out, and would see that helmet, and know that it was a Roman soldier. You know, they just didn't see that soldier. They saw the whole Roman army, what it represented, what was behind that soldier, and it would strike fear, you know. It would strike fear in their enemies.
So are you saying that, say, we run into an unbeliever, and we are believers, that kind of instills fear in them?
Yes, it does.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's why they strike out.
Yeah, yes. Because, you know, if someone is just an unbeliever, then we're not really doing battle with that person, right? Because
right.
we're supposed to love people into
yes.
the kingdom. But if someone is an antichrist, No means the Antichrist, but if someone is an anti, someone is against Christ, against Christianity, and they know you're a believer, yeah, there's fear.
We're a stumbling block, there's actually, fear. For them.
Yeah, we threaten their way of life, their whole process, their thinking, you know, all of that, and who do they have to turn to? You know, once they're threatened, they're going to go into a fight or flight.
Mm-hmm.
And who do they run to? If you're not a believer and you're an antichrist, you're going to run to the darkness, I guess. But
well, they run into things that
not cause harm,
mm-hmm.
yeah, and destruction with all mm-hmm. the looting and all the rioting that's going on, and.
And then they get confused all the
time. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. 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 Confusion.
They're doing it for reasons that don't make sense. And you exactly. You just kind of want to sit them down and be like, let's have a rational conversation.
But people perish for lack of knowledge.
Yeah. I heard some girl one time, she was like, oh, this is Reformation. And I'm like, apparently you don't understand what that actually means. Like, right. Like, yes, that's a real word.
Mm-hmm.
And I see where why you're trying to use it, but honey, that you're not using it properly. Like, I was like, oh Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, mm-hmm. I don't know. So they do, they run to things that they don't even understand.
Yeah.
We all need to be a part of something bigger than ourselves. We truly do. We all need to be a part of something. I mean, that's why there's gangs, that's why there's,
mm-hmm.
you know, all these
mm-hmm.
different cliques, that's why there's, you know, tons of just big groups and stuff out there, because everybody needs to be part of something bigger than themselves. And, you know, the thing with the salvation, you know, when you think of it as a helmet, I don't really particularly like that imagery, because you put a helmet on and take it off. And I think that once you put on salvation, you don't take it off. I think once you put on salvation, but then again, you don't take any of this off, I suppose. Not really.
No,
you don't take off the righteousness. You don't take off the peace. You don't
save.
Right. We don't take off any of this. But, you know, it talks about put on the helmet of salvation.
Which means you accept his, which
yeah.
means that you're accepting him. So you put it on and it'll never come back off again.
Right. Well, but, you know, Satan is that father of lies.
Yeah.
You know, that's who he is. That's what he does. And when we put on salvation, we think differently.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Our perception, you know, our whole minds start to change. We if we allow our minds to be conformed to the mind of Christ, which is what we're supposed to be doing, we totally see life and the world and relationships and everything around us differently.
Can I read this?
Sure.
Okay, so this is verse 10 in the Passion Translation. Now, my beloved ones, I have saved these most important truths for last. Be supernaturally infused with strength through your life union with the Lord Jesus. Stand victoriously with the force of his explosive power flowing in and through you.
Yes.
he provides.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. And just like that soldier, when we put on that salvation, we become a part of the entire kingdom of God.
Yeah. You know, I tell people.
And what it represents.
I have a question. Why do believers not get excited about Jesus? You know that.
Yeah.
That
you know what? When I was in Brazil, I'm telling you, we go to the church there, the vineyard there that they built, the missionaries and the Brazilian people, and talk about Holy Spirit fire.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. And even the villages along the river, once, you know, they started, you know, ministering to them and everything. And then we went and we visited them when I was going there. And even they had such a, because they've got nothing. They've got absolutely nothing.
And we have a whole bunch of it. Look at all the church. We have church on every corner.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And so maybe that's why our excitement gets extinguished.
Yeah. That's just crazy. We, and they don't have all these distractions.
Yeah. Our affluence is really.
Yes. Yeah. And, oh, their love for Jesus is just, oh, my goodness.
Yeah, unfortunately, we fall into complacency. We get comfortable with our faith. We get comfortable with, you know, hey, I'm going to church every week. I do Bible studies. I do, you know, I'm in a small group. I teach classes. I do, you know, do all these things. And, you know, we get, I used to struggle. I was like the super volunteer, I guess. I don't know. Many years ago, and it's like
many
I couldn't do.
Right now,
I was worse, but I couldn't do enough.
I have to say,
I couldn't do enough. It was like boom, 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 boom. You know, somebody needed something. I'm on it. I'm on it. Mm-hmm. I'm on it. And that's how I was all the time. Mm-hmm. And I thought I had learned, maybe not. Tina doesn't think so, but I thought I had learned to. Kind of slowed down a little bit because some of the stuff, it was like I was trying to do so much that
it all just became
you get worn out.
It was not all. It wasn't. God wasn't telling me to do it all.
Right.
They were godly things.
Right.
But He didn't say go do it all. Right. I just thought I was supposed to. Right. And so, you know, I'm burning the candle at both ends and in the middle and trying to figure out, you know, how to stay on top of it all. And it was just too much. And yes, I still do a lot, Tina, but
I
have learned to slow down somewhat, and I do learn
well,
to
Well, he
ask
doesn't
him.
Have to help with prom this year, and he doesn't have to help with, I don't know if we're having a Christmas program or not, but... He usually does all that stuff too. Yeah.
But I think we get complacent, we get comfortable in what we're doing, and we kind of lose that excitement because we do have so much. We have so much. And, you know, people that reach out to Christ in desperation and find Him there is so incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we do that, but then we know He's there. And we know He's always going to be there. And we know that every time we reach out, He's there. And I think it's actually, in America, I think we have a very selfish faith. I think we think about how it affects us more than wanting everybody to be a part of it.
For instance, a resume.
Maybe.
I'm with... this, and I'm with that, and I'm with that. Like, you know, when you hand it, you know.
Look at all the stuff that I do.
Yeah.
Right.
And then, like, yeah, but you're exhausted, and you don't truly have time for Christ.
Right. It's like,
so you lost your excitement because now you're just tired.
I remember a friend of mine, I worked at Hills at the time, and we were having a faith talk and stuff in our break room, and she wasn't even at our table or anything. And she just pops up and she says, well, I love my grandma and my grandpa. I love American, you know, apple pie. And I love this. And I take care of animals. And I walk old ladies across the street and all this stuff. She says, I'm a good person. She said, so, you know, what's wrong with me? I said, nothing's wrong with you. Nothing's wrong with you at all. I said, the difference between you and me is... I have salvation.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that you don't, because I don't know for sure, but it doesn't sound like you do.
Yeah.
And I said, I can tell you how to get salvation, but I can't make you.
Right.
And it doesn't just happen.
Yeah.
And she was like really hard and really bitter, and but I'm a good person,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you just wonder, like, I never said you were. But the difference is, I know where I go and I'm gone.
Yeah.
I'm going to have everlasting life.
Yeah.
And like, that's the difference. Like, I'm not saying you're not a good person. You might be one of the sweetest people I've ever met, but what are you doing either?
Right.
Yeah, we're out of time.
Is it out of time?
Yeah. I just, this is a just a feeling, okay? But I feel like there are a lot of other countries that are already seriously living in darkness, and Satan's not working overtime there. He already has those people in bondage.
Right.
And I think that the fact that the United States, though it doesn't always feel like it now, was built on Christian morals and values and Christian principles. And I think that there is still a large number of Christians in the United States, and I think that there is still a major battle going on, because we're still really willing to fight against that darkness, and we haven't been overcome by it yet. And so I think that he's working seriously overtime, and not just here, but here and some of the other bigger countries where, you know, there's just so much distraction. And that's what he distracts us. That's his biggest tool, is he lies and he gets in there and he says, that's not really what God means. Are you sure you read that word right?
Look at Korea and China.
And, you know, it's the same trick he used back with Adam. He's still using the same trick today, and it's still working for him. And he gets us to second guess. He gets us to second guess ourselves, second guess our faith, second guess God, and we have to be careful. Alright. Lord, we just thank you and praise you. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for your armor. This didn't say put on some armor. This says put on the full armor of God. It's your armor, and you provide it for us. You give us that armor, Lord, because you know that once we choose you, there will be spiritual battle. And it's a spiritual battle that is so huge. It's happening here and now and in the heavenly realms and all over, Lord, and we just can't see it all. And if we could, we'd probably be so overwhelmed we'd run in fear, hiding. But the truth is you give us this armor because you expect us to stand firm. And that's what we need to do, Lord. So we just offer ourselves to you completely, and we ask that you would wrap us with this armor and help us to stand firm. Lord, we thank you and we praise you. We lift up the service today, and we just ask that you would watch over, guide us, that your Holy Spirit would bless every person in that sanctuary. In Jesus' name.